At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So it fits. So you, what vaccine do you prescribe?
Well, all we really have now is the mRNA vaccine, right? I mean, that's all.
But is it Johnson & Johnson? Is it Moderna?
That's gone. J&J's gone. It's off the market. They pulled it.
So what's left? What company?
Pfizer and Moderna.
Pfizer? Yeah. Okay. And so you recommend a vax and a boost.
And the bivalent boost. I've had them bivalent. Now, though, I have to tell you,
different camp already. Hold on. Way different camp.
But hold on. So the XXBB, you know, XSB.1.15 is the new variant that's flying around. The press is already trying to scare people about that. It's clearly very mild, very mild. It's an Omicron variant. And the vaccines don't cover it. So and there's no data on the, they're pushing for people to take a bivalent booster. I don't know what we're doing anymore. Now I've lost track of things. Now the data is not there. I don't see the benefits. I don't really know what the risks are. So I have not recommended my patients continue to boost at this moment. I may get there again, but at this moment I've said it's up to you. I don't know. I don't have enough data to recommend it. I've had one patient take it anyway. The rest have also decided themselves that they couldn't see why they would want it anyway.
And children you wouldn't recommend because they're young and the immune system works, correct?
I don't get, so here's where my curiosity is now. My whole sort of motivation throughout this thing is what's going on here? What is going on? And so this extreme push to vaccinate children, I don't understand. I don't get what's going on there.
Robert F. Kennedy will tell you.
Well, I did interview him a couple times.
When it's mandated for kids, it's a different thing.
And he did convince me that there is a relationship, a cozy relationship between the regulators and the pharma companies that I did not understand. I did not recognize. And he persuaded me to that. And that was new information. That's the kind of things I'm coming to by talking to all these people that are being canceled and vilified and sidelined and stuff. But he was another. I don't adhere to a lot of what he says. And he and I fought it out about AZT and Dr. Fauci a little bit because I was there. I used the AZT. I know what was happening. And
okay, so let me ask you this. Yeah. I think I had COVID. I had COVID at least twice.
Yeah.
I think I had it a couple weeks ago. I swabbed all different days. I never showed up. I think I had it in Italy in 2019. I was violently sick, but that was the summer of 2019. It wasn't supposed to be out, but who knows? I was in the summer of 19, Saudi Arabia, Italy, and like Thailand. I was in three different places.
What were you doing?
I was doing comedy. People got to laugh, Drew. People got to laugh over there. So long story not boring is I was all twisted up. And then I was in Hawaii, which is a poor belief of everyone. Like Hawaii sees everybody, right?
Yeah.
Different places. So long story is I didn't get it. I was doing tons of stuff. I was locked in like everybody. Blah, blah. And then 2022, the Christmas in LA, yeah. I feel like everybody got it.
Yeah.
Had one bad day. My lawyer, I told you that. Then started going out again, dipping my toes into the world, comedy, blah, blah, blah. And then I got it again in August of 2022. I've never felt better. I have a very good doctor and he's like, look, I would recommend you do it, but I'm not going to force you to do it.
Yeah.
I get my heart checked because I have a heart issue every 2 months. I've had since I was 10. Only thing I've noticed is I have a little bit more AFib. I have a little bit more AFib. So that's something we're keeping an eye on, but it's not like, you know, my heart is monitored.
Well, have seen a lot of superventricular arrhythmias like atrial fibrillation in young people.
Yes, and I never got a vax. I'm against the vax.
I know, but,
I'm an example of a 53-year-old guy with a heart issue that had COVID possibly three times.
Yes.
And do I have AFib? Sure.
Yeah.
But is it I had it before, but we beat it down, but now it seems to come back a little bit.
And that might I think the spike protein does that. And whether you get the spike protein from the vaccine or from COVID, you have the potential for this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And we have not studied really what the impact in a young male particularly is COVID plus vaccine. We don't know. And so that's what I worry about, because I'm seeing a lot of this kind of stuff. And some of them in people, I was seeing it early on in people who had not had COVID yet, who just had the vaccine. So it's cutting all ways, right? And so that's why I thought when Damar Hamlin fell down, I thought, oh man, is this COVID? Is this vaccine? Is it both? I don't know.
Well, let's go down this rabbit hole now, okay? Because I respect you immensely. We talk about life, Hollywood, and obviously in medicine, you're the king. So listen, something that can make me very upset, okay? The vaccine, we could spend 10 hours on, you know, that's a question. The mandates, all this shit, I don't believe in it. I think there's a lot of bullshit with this. Question for you. I saw a clip with you last week, and that's why I was calling you incessantly.
Okay.
What Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah.
And the, you know, the most talented man in our business.
Yeah.
You know, it's none of my business, but I'm hearing from different people. I heard certain things within his circle. And now I saw you and AJ, and I would never speculate because of the sensitivity of this issue. So that's why I wanted to talk to you.
All right. So
what I saw.
So here's what you saw. You saw AJ reporting, which I didn't know he was going to report on this, by the way. He reported two things. He said, I spoke to somebody in the room with Jamie, and he reported on a specific neurological problem that he kind of misreported. I had to kind of straighten him out a little bit about, because it was not really clear what he was describing. And then he went on to speculate, well, Jamie didn't want the vaccine, and then he had to get the vaccine. And he, I think, was making that connection with the vaccine and whatever happened to Jamie. I don't see it. I don't know it. That's pure speculation on his part. I know of no evidence to that regard whatsoever.
Okay.
And all of this
is just rumors then.
Yeah, it's all people saying what I said. It's, of course, never what I said. Social media is never what you say. It's always what they say you say, always. And so I pushed back on him. I said, AJ, you're saying he has a clot in his brain. Did he have an intracranial hemorrhage, a bleed? And he described, you know, hemiplegia and some vision problems. And that's a weird anatomy for a stroke. So if he'd had a stroke, it's like, well, I mean, that middle cerebral artery is a big stroke, and that's how you lose your motor and sensory on one side, but it usually doesn't include vision. So I thought, well, could this be intracranial hemorrhage? And intracranial hemorrhage, by the way, has not been associated with COVID or the vaccine. So that would put this in an entirely different category in terms of people speculating about these things. If it is a stroke, well, yes, we're seeing a lot of strokes these days in young people, and I still don't know. Is it COVID? Is it vaccine? Is it COVID plus vaccine? Or is it none of the above? Is it just the stress of all we've been going through or something? I don't know. Are people doing more drugs? And that, I don't know. I don't have any idea what's going on. But they're not doing the research, and that drives me crazy. And do you know why they're not doing the research?
Why?
Because you're not allowed to ask, does it have anything to do with the vaccine? You're not allowed to even ask that question.
Yeah, so what does that tell you?
It tells me nothing is what it tells me.
Tells you that Big Pharma is colluding.
Well, they are certainly twisting the arm of the editorial process in medical literature, it seems to me. Though maybe my beloved Annals of Internal Medicine will come up with something. You know, they were suggesting some more significant, sort of easy and more appropriate ways to sort of study vaccine therapies by proper controls therapy. Let me see what that study was called.
The J&J is gone because it caused problems, correct?
Challenges in estimating the effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccination using observational data. They have some suggestions for that. Yes, they got rid of it because of the reaction I had. Caused what's called a consumptive coagulopathy.
So what is Jamie Foxx? You don't know what's going on with him.
I know what AJ told me. He claims to have good sources. AJ doesn't say things unless he has solid sources. I've known him for, you've known him forever too, right? I mean, the guy doesn't just talk out of his butt. He talks about sources, but based on even what he told me, I couldn't really tell, was this a stroke or a bleed? But I will tell you this I did say, and I will say it because it's true, dude, when somebody stays in a neurological unit for months, that is serious business. That is not good.
Is that being reported?
Yeah, he's in a rehab unit.
I hope to God he's okay.
Rehab has, there's two kinds of rehab: drug addiction and psychiatric rehab, and neurologic and orthopedic rehab. When you recover from a stroke or an orthopedic injury, you go to a rehabilitation unit, physical rehabilitation unit. And people usually spend 2, maybe 4 weeks in one of those in bad situations. Now, after that, you usually go into outpatient therapeutics. I can't imagine why he's still in an inpatient program. I mean, obviously he can afford it, and maybe he's getting special care, and that's great, but it's still like that's a terrible, I feel so bad for him. That is not a good sign. It's not a good sign.
True. This is true. This is a guy that's healthier than anything. A marvel of talent.
Yeah.
So you have to start looking at the vaccine. You have to.
Well, I don't mind people. Look, so what I want to know is, so as I explained to you, I understand the risk reward in my 80-year-old patients. The benefit is there. The risk is small. I don't understand the risk reward in a 30-year-old male. I don't know it yet. I don't see it because they haven't published enough about the risk. So I see some data that claims it's just simply safe, period. And that's not been my experience. So the literature is not fitting with my experience yet. I've seen people disabled by it. I interviewed last week. If you go to my drdrew.tv, you'll see an interview with a friend of mine who is an extremely accomplished writer, producer, director, who has been disabled for a year with a long COVID syndrome. And
from the vaccine?
From the vaccine.
What is he? What's his ailments?
He is short of breath. He has exercise intolerance. He can't walk very far. He has severe fogginess and cloudiness and just can't function.
I will say this. I feel dumber, and that's a lot for me. Listen. I feel like since I've had COVID, I definitely feel like Biden. Like sometimes I forget stuff, but I've been talking to everybody and everybody says they're a little cloudy. So I don't know.
And this is one of the reasons, right? Now think about this. So I have interviewed also some very heavy vaccine advocates on this program. And the ones, I've learned something there too. Turns out all the vaccine developers and the public health officials are pediatricians, because pediatricians who are engaged with vaccines mostly. So these guys are all pediatricians, and they are freaked out by the neurological symptoms and findings associated with post-COVID and long COVID. They're freaked out about it. Every bad serious illness in an older adult creates brain shrinkage, creates some neurological symptoms. That is commonplace. Now, having said that, so they don't have that clinical perspective. So they're freaked out about it. It's going to hurt my brain. But by the same token, I would argue that COVID has done a little more than average. For instance, I have had ringing in my ear that started night like 2, and it was like, it was buzzing. It was crazy. And I have some diminished hearing in that ear. And I've noticed the same thing about mental acuity and things like that you're noticing. And I've noticed that it's, 2, 3 years out now? It's getting better recently. It takes a long time to recover from these things. And you kind of have to work at it. But usually
I feel amazing. I just feel a little bit like sometimes I'll forget stuff. And I don't know if it's like post 50 or I'm just a little bit, but it seems like a lot of people.
I think there is something here. There is some data that suggests it's shown to have a microvascular injury. It hits the lining of the small arteries. But then there's some suggestions that the vaccine does the same thing. And so therefore, which one is, at a certain age, when do you want to use one, the risk of one versus the other? That's what I'm trying to figure out. And I don't have the data yet. They're not giving it to us.
Okay, and then you spoke about DeMar Hamlin, okay? And then I saw something else that you said. And
yeah.
I know many a pro athlete, especially football. And you spoke about DeMar Hamlin. And that thing that was being reported is basically what happens when you're hit with a baseball at a targeted, at a very young age, from like 9 to 11, when it's not fully formed, and it's a freak accident.
Yeah.
Right.
So let me give you my thoughts. So I watched it and I watched you.
Okay.
Okay. So you're going into your version of this. So my thing was, I don't know what, maybe it's called commotio cordis when that happens. Mm-hmm. I think it's commotio, but commotio really does not happen in football. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's not, it's a different kind of a thing. It usually happens in pre-adolescent males, as you said, 9 to 11. And it's usually a wrap, like an elbow, a hockey puck, or a baseball. It's a sudden a pop to the chest sternum. Not a tackle. Tackling is a different kind of an impact. Like, you know, getting it from a car accident or something. We don't get it from car accidents. It just doesn't happen. And so I already was like, okay, well, what's going on here? That doesn't make sense. So what would take somebody down like that? Well, it could be, you know, we see a lot of POTS syndrome and things like that. And that's all post-COVID and post-vaccine, both. But then here's the craziness. So he's dead on the field. Okay.
Confirmed.
Well, they
revive him.
They revive him on the field. If it were commotio, after you revive, they revive very quickly. And then that's it. They're better. But he didn't get better. He stayed down, and he is reported as having rearrested in the emergency room, like another arrest. That's weird for commotio, not impossible, weird. Then he's on the ventilator.
Rearrested, meaning double, he died again. He was like,
right, his heart stopped again. Now he's stabilized, he's getting better, and he improves neurologically before his lungs do. That was weird. He's awake and talking and signing things, but he's not off the ventilator. Usually, as soon as they come to neurologically, you get off the ventilator. So why is he still on the ventilator? Well, he could have aspirated during the resuscitation. He could have shock lung. People get these shock lungs if they've been down a long time. But if it was commotio, he should have come right back. Why did he come right back? And then I thought, well, what would explain all of this? What would explain him going down suddenly, rearresting, not coming off the vent when his neurological status improved? These are all odd things. Well, the one thing that would explain all of it is a pulmonary embolus, okay? And pulmonary embolus is common in COVID, and it's been reported with the vaccine. So I thought, well, that would fill in all the gaps. That would make everything fit together. And it would also explain why they didn't report it right away, because it, as I've told you, you're not allowed to ask any questions that, even though it's not likely to be the vaccine, it's more likely to be COVID. You're not allowed to ask the question or report it. So if it was pulmonary embolus, they would silence that because it calls up the question of the vaccine. So they wouldn't allow that out.
So where is he?
Explain everything.
But apparently he was back. He was back in the stadium within 2 weeks, waving to people.
Both those things could do that. The question is, was he on blood thinners? Was he on anticoagulants? That will tell you the whole story. Was he on a blood thinner? Yes.
Why? What would that do?
Because that means pulmonary embolus. They pull on blood thinners for 6 months.
So is he coming back to the NFL?
Either condition, he can come back. Yeah, either condition, he can come back. If he wants to. My opinion.
That was an insane thing. So my question to you is, why, if you can't question things, if you can't go, which is the all basis of science, right? You come up with a hypothesis,
yes. Yeah.
And then your peers come together and say they push back.
Yep.
And that's how a joke is formed. Like, yep. We test it on the crowd until it's good, right? So
yep.
What does that tell you then? As a person who I consider you a zealot for, you are a person that has always done right when I've known you, and meaning you want to do the best for people, yes. And yes. You are a zealot for, I like, try. This is what medicine is. This is health. This is positivity.
Yes.
Try. So what is your take on that? That you cannot push back.
Oh, it's insane. It's
but
not just,
why is it happening?
Because
I have my thoughts, but I want yours.
Here are mine. Certainly the regulatory capture by Big Pharma. Okay. That is a significant issue. Number one,
Big Pharma.
Number two, if you question anything about this particular vaccine therapy, you are labeled as a vaxxer, anti-vaxxer. You're an anti-vaxxer.
100%.
You're an anti-vaxxer. You hate vaccines. You're, mm-hmm. you're you're a whack job. You're non-scientific, and you're MAGA. You're far right. You're immediately far right. It was the craziest shit ever.
I was there January 6th, apparently.
Right. You should have. Right. You support January 6th. And so there's, and where is that coming from? That's not Big Pharma. That is not Big Pharma. That's the insanity of the present moment and the press. It's the press. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's coming from the press. It's coming from Big Pharma. Let's see. It's coming to some extent from medicine, because medicine has now been fractured all over the place too. And so within medicine, if you're like Joseph Latipo, the Surgeon General for Florida, I don't know if you know, but he's also a MAGA villain.
Yes.
He's a villain.
Oh, he's a brilliant guy.
Dummy villain. You don't know that. He's a villain. Bad guy.
He was a brilliant guy till he said the one thing about vaccines, and then they threw him out in the toilet.
Exactly.
So my question is this, Drew, and let's just be real.
Yeah.
I, Jamie Kennedy, in the last 8 months have through a circle of people, like one degree away, have seen people die
of vaccine.
No, of course they're not going to say that, but I know seven different people, and from comedy community, from actors, from someone in a family, seven different people, not that I was like close with, but
yep.
One degree removed.
Yeah.
And they're all ages from, 28 to 53.
Yeah.
So my question is, do you see this a lot? Am I the only one seeing this? Clearly I'm not, but if I label that, I'm labeled a crazy person.
And are you
seeing it?
I see it, and I'm worrying about it, but I don't know what I'm seeing. Okay. I really don't.
How can you not know what you're seeing? This is a new phenomenon.
It seems to be new. I agree with you, yet the data is not bearing that out. But Jamie, because I'm so concerned about the editorial process and medical literature, I worry that I'm not seeing the data. So I'm worried about that. I'm worried that I'm not seeing the data, because it certainly, there's a lot of noise. There is a lot of noise.
We're on to something.
Do you know a guy named Steve Kirsch? Have you seen his stuff?
Steve Kirsch is a legend. He's a Silicon Valley legend, and he's brilliant. And he put $10 million where his mouth is, and no one will debate him.
Steve Kirsch is an animal. Why don't you talk to him? Why don't you
interview? I would love that.
I'll send you his contact info.
He's as smart as anyone. He's a Stanford educated, brilliant guy. He sold many a tech company.
I understand.
And they're calling him a nut.
And he is the guy that really first reported on fluvoxamine being useful. He spent his money to do some research on repurposed medication, and lo and behold, through the sigma 1 receptor in the brain, it works to decrease the inflammation of the COVID that we've been talking about. And that's why I took it. He was yelling at me. He goes, "It's your brain, aren't you? Don't you can't risk it." And I felt better on fluvoxamine. It helped resolve my long COVID. It really did. So I will get you Steve Kirsch's stuff. He can give you, he's more red pilled than you are, so to speak. He is further down the road, than you are. He's worried about all vaccines now. He's worried about everything. He's really down the road. I have always cautioned him that he's not a biologist, and biological sciences move very slowly. And what you think you're seeing and what you're seeing can be very different. But we need you need to get to the literature. There's got a census has got to develop, a consensus rather.
But what about, okay, so VAERS, like I look at the VAERS reporting. There are people that just throw that out and just say, oh, it's Wikipedia. Anyone can put anything up. Do you give credibility to the VAERS?
It's something. Again, I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm looking at.
You really are like that meme when they're like, the dog in the apartment, and everything's on fire. And you're like, we're fine. Yeah. We're fine. Like you wait. You want it. You do not want to say it until it's 100%.
Jamie, is your number 369 or 244?
369, 4500.
Yeah,
but that's now you just put this all over the internet.
I just sent you Steve Kirsch's full contact, everything.
Hey, will he talk to me?
Oh, absolutely. You tell him I sent him. I sent you. Absolutely.
He's a brilliant guy. I follow him.
But we have about 5 minutes left.
Yeah, I'll let you go, Drew.
He's the kind of people that I've come into contact with as a result of this experience of going out and talking to people who've been vilified, sidelined, silenced, canceled. And I learned something from every single one of them. I don't agree. Just like you are talking here, everybody laughs at me like you are now because I move slow. I really.
But I get it. You're a man of science.
Well, I want to get it right. We've been so wrong so far, and it's so confusing, and I'm trying to figure it out. I want to finally get it right. So I don't want to sort of jockey back and forth in my opinions. When I've got some clarity, I'll hang on it. And pieces have come together. You know, I've learned a lot of stuff. So that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Jamie, it's good to see you.
So, great to see you, buddy. I appreciate you, man. I love you, buddy. Let's do one in person soon, okay?
AJ, to get you to start bugging me and come ask me on.
Well, I was crying, man. I'm like, this is crazy.
It's very sad. It's so disturbing.
And I'm hoping it's not true. So.
It's so disturbing. It really is very disturbing. Yeah.
You know, but we'll stay in this good fight together, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Talk to you soon, okay?
See ya.
Bye-bye.